I'm returning to Kavik River Camp, which is based on the North Slope of Alaska. I'm the camp's sole caretaker, and it's how I make my living. My closest neighbor is about 350 miles south, and for 9-10 months of the year, I live completely alone out here.
That looks like it really breaks up on that.
Camp's been abandoned for about 3 months while I've been down having ankle surgery in Fairbanks.
I don't know how bad it is down there. There's a lot of unknowns.
80-mile-an-hour storm coming in tomorrow and going to last a week. So this is my window today. There is a concern that there's a bear den up in my home, and I'm about to find out.
All right. Let's take a look-see. Oh, my God. There's some tracks. Got lots of tracks.
Get this unloaded and get him on his way. Are you gonna go? All right, Bob. I will. All right, let's go see who's sleeping in my bag. We're about 40 below zero, but that storm is coming in.
Other than me, you got 83 grizzlies tagged that have the possibility of walking through camp?
There is no food source on the North Slope in the winter for a bear except for me. These are bigger tracks. That's a bigger track. In here. Right here and here, big old tracks right by the door. Actually, it's pretty slack down there. This is taut. That is not compromised somewhere by something. You know, a few years ago, I got attacked by a grizzly. When you have a bear and he's got his jaws on your throat and you're laying there and you don't know if he's gonna chew on you, you don't want it to happen twice. I don't know what I'm looking at going in there. Load it. Light. And let's see who's home. Yo! Anybody here? Bro! Somebody has been here. Humans. Bro! Hey! Okay, nobody's in this part. This part checks out. There has been somebody here. Garbage is moved. Garbage is half full. Water bottles left out. Cooler inside, magazines out, bandages down. Somebody's been in my house, but it looks like maybe the two-legged variety. This is my sign. It says, "Welcome to Kavik. I'm not here right now. Please respect my home and my belongings. Do not take my things. If you use the heat, fuel, please leave me a note on the amount and the date, Kavik Sioux." Nobody's left me a note. Somebody's been here. I did see the building was slack over here, and it still is. You know, it's a little slack. I think we're good to go. It's real obvious somebody came into my camp, used the premises, and my .30-06 rifle with the scope is missing. See, there's paw prints, there's people prints, there's stuff out. There's things that I don't use here. So first thing I need to check is how much fuel do I have? I had a bunch delivered in barrels and put out, and I may not have it, so I gotta go check.
It's just so many things that can go wrong. We can't prepare for all of them. You just take it as it comes. You never know what's gonna happen. We're in Norvik, Alaska, along the Kobuk River. We're kind of an isolated village, like most of them in this region are.
Most of what we do to make a living is hunting, fishing, trapping, and gathering.
Hunting on this side of the river right now is pretty poor. Before I'll walk across that river, it's got to be frozen solid. I've had friends and family killed doing that.
Well, we're looking at open water that refroze, open water that's refreezing, and then I can see some other lightly colored ones which indicate thin ice over here that I wouldn't go on. I'm not going to go on.
We're waiting for the female caribou there coming from the north. They're held up on the north side of the river because they're also waiting for the river to freeze.
It's dangerous, but to take a vehicle or a heavy load like a load of meat over this would be inviting disaster. It's better to stay at home, and then we can be productive.
It's that time of year. It's freeze up, we're kind of stuck near home. And this crazy weather doesn't allow us to predict anything, and it doesn't allow us to make a plan. It's been a pretty tough startup to winter so far. We'll be digging into the food that we worked hard for and saved for this time of year.
Let me smell him. Yeah, this one's good.
And I want to make sure that while this one was freezing and thawing several times, that he didn't spoil. And he's got a little bit of a high smell to him, but that's aged meat. It's not spoiled meat.
It's my job to go get caribou. I'm going to bring them home. They're the women. It becomes theirs once it's in the house. It's theirs now. But it's a cultural thing. It's a way of partitioning out work. And there's the kill shot.
Now we need to clean this up, and she can start butchering it.
Right now, let me sharpen up my ulu real quickly. This was my mother's knife. It's a woman's knife. I take the sinew off, and then I take the backbone off, and the brisket, and then I flip it over on the other side, and then I go on ahead and do the same thing.
Looking good.
Are you going to give this away? Is this going to somebody?
We probably could have that for, like, dinner, maybe.
That's what I was thinking.
Here, it's legal to barter caribou meat, and I'm going to trade some of this meat for ammunition, or I trade for gasoline, or I trade for parts. And there's other people that we will trade this to, and they'll give us fish, or they'll bake bread for us. There's always an exchange.
And then we can employ ourselves full-time with the materials around us to make the things that'll make cash, that'll buy the stuff we can't buy with meat.
I am getting the hooves. We use these parts for mukluks.
Mukluk's a general word for boot, and it can be any kind of boot.
They have the toughest skin.
The hair don't shed, so they make great boots for walking through snow and ice with.
It takes 6 caribou legs to make a pair of mukluks. We take these front legs and we put them on the front there, and then we try and sew them together.
And when you're setting traps, it's best to have a pair of mukluks on your feet so that the animals don't smell the exhaust from your snow machine or the other things that go along with boots. The mukluks, let them think you're caribou.
There are many different dangers associated with living in a location like this. If you're that worried about it all the time, you shouldn't live here. So I just go about my business and try not to think about those kind of things too much. Ever since I was a little kid, I always was really into the outdoors and really into hunting. It was something that was just born into me. My strategy to get through the winter is just subsistence hunting, trapping, and just kind of living off the land. I brought my 22 here, so I keep a hot magazine in an empty chamber. So if we come across any ptarmigan, that's the rifle I'll be shooting. I'm also going to bring my AR-15, which is a 223. This is the rifle that I'll shoot if I come across any fur bears at a distance. There's a good chance I'm going to see fox, potential for lynx or wolves, even wolverine. Give or take in a year, I harvest half a ton of meat. Everything in Alaska is dictated by the weather, and when the conditions are right and the season is open, I head out to get my meat. Yeah, wild game meat has many advantages. There's a lot of people that don't understand how healthy the meat is. It's very lean. I harvest these animals while they're alive. I know the animal's health. I kill the animal, I butcher the animal, I package the animal, and then I eat the animal. You don't have that luxury or that peace of mind with store-bought meat, or as I like to call it, government meat. Fresh set of fox tracks headed into this willow bar. We're gonna grab the 223 here and see if we can't catch up with them. I'm just gonna poke along real slow and quiet and see if I can't get up on it. Riding my snow machine along this willow bar, and there's a real fresh fox track headed in here. I'm just gonna poke along real slow and quiet and see if I can't get up on it. Good day out here in the Brooks Range. Got a nice, healthy-looking prime fox. Beautiful pelt here. Nice animal. Good deal. In the winter, I trap for supplemental income. Animals can be used to make mitts or parka ruffs or hats, and they can also be sold. This fox here is worth $30 to $40 on the fur market and up to $100 for a tourist or collector. Well, there's a fox right there. This was a subsistence shot animal. I shot that animal for the meat. I'll also utilize the hide. Every part of that animal was used by myself. Got two nice fox, happy about that. Saw a lot of ptarmigan tracks while I was in there getting those fox. I'm gonna leave the AR behind here and head back in with the 22. See if I can't pick up a ptarmigan or two for dinner.
It's not ignorance is death, it's non-preparedness is death up here. You have to think ahead.
You gonna be a lead dog? Huh? I think you're gonna be a lead dog someday? That would be nice. That would be nice.
Is this for Prancer or is this for Jack?
That's for Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Chow, chow, chow.
This is my family here. Kate and my dogs. Who wants chow? We have 24 dogs right now. If you add on Jack, we have 25 right now. Iceberg is one of my main lead dogs. He's got a bit of a mind of his own, but that's one of the things about all these sled dogs. Each dog has his own personality. They all have their strengths and they all have a weakness.
A lot of people have moved on to snow machines, but I still prefer the Alaska bush way of doing things.
We spend a lot of time working with these dogs. We spend a lot of time fishing and providing for these dogs, but they provide for us too. They provide all of our wood for heating. They haul all of our water for drinking. It's a real symbiotic relationship we have with them. Fogo, you need a little more? You're kind of skinny. Well, these dogs take about 2,500 to 4,000 calories a day just to maintain them, and that's going to cost me somewhere between $4,000 to $6,000 a year in dry dog food. And what gasoline is to an engine, salmon and dog food is to our dogs. We're getting down on the dog food. I miscalculated on my how much dog food I needed to bring down here this year. That's all I got left. So I got half a bucket of dog food. This is my last feeding of dog food. This year, the river jammed up really bad, and it created a major obstacle for me to get around to my resupply point up in Eagle. We're definitely not going out on the ice. It's just not safe.
These dogs are everything to us in the winter, so if I don't figure out something real quick, it's going to be a big problem.
You're all dressed?
Yep. I gotta get going.
Where are you going?
I just got off the horn with Jake, and he said that he would be able to bring a plane in to bring in a load of dog food today for us.
Why do we need that?
We're out. We got today's feeding, that's it.
Jesus.
Yeah, I screwed up. I just didn't bring enough down in the fall time, and I wasn't expecting this long, protracted freeze-up. Because I can't go upriver right now.
I know.
The trail to Eagle's blocked off, so that's out. So I'm going to get smoking. I'm going to hook up some dogs and go get that.
It's going to cost a freaking pretty penny.
I know.
Got to take care of the dogs, man. The dogs are number one. If you don't have them, we don't have anything out here.
Well, I'm not going to complain about spending money on the dogs. You know that.
This year, I bought a new type of dog food. It's a much higher quality dog food. But I wasn't really sure how much to feed, and I'm feeding more than I probably should have. Getting this dog food in, it's going to cost us a bunch. Most years, I spend anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 on dog food. This is going to add probably another quarter or third more cost to that, but that's the way it goes out in the bush sometimes. You can't plan for everything. You do the best you can, but sometimes you screw up. The only place I can land a plane right now is on Ford Lake, about a half mile away. It's dangerous coming in and landing in a remote spot like this. Landing on a flat lake in flat light, they don't have any depth perception where the lake begins. And the worst thing for a bush pilot is to come in for a landing and hit a hard drift. It could flip the plane, you know, it could be disastrous. Good. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody stay. Howdy, partner. How's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Got some hungry dogs?
Yeah. So I plane landed safely, brought beat bags of dog food, so we're good for about another 3 weeks or so. It was kind of a shock this morning for Kate, and she's a little bummed out about the extra costs, but she understands, and for both of us, our dogs are the primary concern.
Hey, Nupsy, let's go, girl. Up, up. Attaboy.
We live on a limited budget out here, and we try and keep it as tight as we can, and this was a big mistake, but we'll get through it.
I live by my ears. You listen for every sound that doesn't belong. You listen for the footsteps. Not everybody worries about bear attacks, but I do.
It's real obvious somebody came into my camp, used the premises. So first thing I need to check is how much fuel do I have? I had a bunch delivered in barrels and put out, and I may not have it, so I gotta go check. The cover that's on it, that protects the fuel from the weather, and it's being weighed down by the snow, so I gotta dig the snow off so I can peel it back and take a measurement. I ordered in and had delivered a certain amount of fuel based on how many days I needed till I could get more. If they used it, there is no recourse. Out of a 300-gallon tank, I got maybe 200. So 100 gallons missing. If I can't get more fuel, it's not just that I'm uncomfortable or I gotta go to Aunt Betty's for a week. It's that my life's on the line. I got 20 other buildings that I might have problems with. Haven't been to any of the other buildings yet. Now, this is something that never even crossed my mind. You know, animal problems, yeah. Not human. Yeah, that's f***ed up. Fuel pump in and the hose unattached. That's just not how you would do it. You know? This tank, when it's full, holds 300 gallons. And I left it, you know, right there, 300. I left it full to the brim. So we have it dry, 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 dry. Oh my God, there's where our fuel is. So my fuel line is right there. So I'm gonna say I have maybe 80 gallons of fuel. I brought in 600 gallons. At least 100 is missing out of the front tank. 220 gallons is missing out of here. I have 280 gallons left. This is a 200 gallon tank. Not even worth gauging. I have 1 inch of fuel. So there's 195-190 gallons gone there. This is so f***ed up. I mean, whoever has stolen my fuel has stolen my lifeline out here. They just don't f***ing get it. Without my fuel, I cannot survive. I only have 10 more days of fuel. After that, I'm struggling to survive. It does hurt my feelings that somebody was so thoughtless for my welfare and what somebody else owns that they took what, you know, it takes me a whole year to save up the money to get the fuel to make it through the winter. It hurts my feelings that somebody abused the privilege of what I have out here. I absolutely think it's detestable that somebody feels they have the right to come in and change my world without asking. Survival just got a little bit tougher. You didn't make it impossible, you just made it difficult. And I like challenges. Booyah.
Everything in life is give and take, but to me, the give is worth the take. Got two nice fox, happy about that. Saw a lot of ptarmigan tracks while I was in there getting those fox. I'm gonna leave the AR behind here and head back in with the 22. See if I can't pick up a ptarmigan or two for dinner. Ptarmigan for supper. walking all day, looking around for some ptarmigan. Finally found a bunch. They've been pretty skittish. Got a couple ptarmigan, and foxes like ptarmigan too. We came across two foxes today. So we have a little bit of dinner and a couple fox hides. So all in all, it was a good day. I have a lot of respect for all the animals that live here in the Brooks Range, and harvesting them is a part of my life. They're very important to me. I do eat these animals, and I do use these animals' fur and sell these animals' fur. That's subsistence living.
I think the mind is the most fragile thing out here of the human being. I think people can convince themselves they're going to lose or they're going to win, and it's all in their mind.
While I'm stuck in around town while it's freezing up and ice conditions are improving, I'm trying to get a hold of foxes that they don't want here in town.
I think with the dump and with the high water that went on this last summer, foxes have just generally prospered, and there's a lot of them. We've had a rabies outbreak before, so right now the city is offering $40 a fox. So for every skin I get, not only do I get to keep it and sew it up, but I can take the carcass and get an extra $40. The other day, Rodney mentioned that there were a lot of foxes uptown. Basically, he left me with an open invitation to come up here and get any foxes from him. Since freeze-up's taking longer than I can handle, I want to start trapping. I'm going to be trapping along here in town. That's kind of what my thought is. Keep me busy until I can get down to camp. Maybe a couple over here and a couple down below on the edge of the cliff. Is that a good idea?
Yeah. They run all over the place here.
Yeah.
I have them come up to my door and look in my window once in a while.
Besides, we can split the dough. Thank you, Rodney.
Okay. Nice thing about setting iron traps, buy a big chunk of iron, and you can smell it. Predators, they go to the high points, and this is a trail up to the high points, and they'll be able to look out over the river and do their hunting, and hopefully on their trail up here they'll smell this and they'll decide to have a look at the little pieces and the little bits of smell that they've got going on, some of these little whitefish eggs I've got just laying around, and they'll come into this over here for the bigger piece.
We should be just fine.
So Mr. Fox is pretty freaking smart. Then I'm gonna set a trap off to the side of where the trap is. And at the same time,
you can outthink them. You just gotta put your time to it, your mind to it.
We're all just kind of stuck here on this little chunk of land right now, and getting up a bunch of foxes to start off my year would be nice, but I just gotta keep being persistent.
It's just like so many things out here. You have to be thinking ahead of what potentially might happen. If you just go blindly doing things, it'll bite you real quick. This year I didn't get a moose or a caribou, so we're running low on meat. So now that I've got the dogs all fed up, it's time for me to head out and get some meat for Kate and I.
Hey, good boy.
So we're out on Six Mile Lake and found this beaver house here. This is a new house. It looks like it's gonna be a good one for harvesting some beavers. Poor beavers, everybody likes to eat them, including me. This is a good discovery. The beavers probably have a tunnel from either right here or right here coming out. A lot of times, if you know you're gonna trap, you wanna do this in the fall time and see, you'll be able to see where their tunnels are. This is gonna be kind of a blind luck. So, that's good, the ice isn't very thick. That'll make it easier for me. We'll see how deep it is. Okay, I'm touching bottom right there. I've got about 18 inches to 2 feet of water, and that's about perfect because
That way the beavers don't have a lot of area to go around where I'm gonna make my set. This is looking pretty good right now. Beavers are good to eat. The byproduct is I'm also gonna be able to have some good fur to make some mittens or some muckluck liners or beaver fur is really, really warm fur. Other than otter fur, beaver fur is probably one of the warmest furs you'll find out here. And it's very durable. Beavers tend to really like cottonwood, so I'm gonna try and put a gourmet meal out for those beavers. The idea is to get these set so they're hanging like this around the bait. Beaver comes in, he swims around, and he's caught. So the trick now is just to put this in without disturbing my snares. It's gotta go in pretty slow. That water's already starting to freeze again. I think I'm gonna make it. That looks pretty good. I don't see anything that's moved. All right, we're in. The trap is set and it's kind of a waiting game now. Oh, gee, 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 gee. So I'll come back tomorrow and see if I caught anything.
Well, I got 2 ptarmigan and 2 fox today. I'm gonna clean one up and eat them for supper. First thing we're gonna do is expose the breast. Keep a nice angle on the knife so you don't waste any. One nice breast. Now, when I kill these animals, I like to utilize all parts, so it's not the law, but I always utilize and salvage the thighs as well. And not only are we going to take all the edible meat from this ptarmigan, but we're going to use the remaining carcass as trapping bait. So kind of coming full circle here. We're going to make just a little incision here. We're going to tear up on this chest cavity, exposing the innards. Here is my personal favorite, the heart, which is a really tender bite. And then we're gonna go in and grab the liver as well. Here's the liver. Another essential part to ptarmigan hunting is the use of onions. And then, you know, a lot of people wonder out here in the bush, like, what do you do with all your trash? There's no garbage pickup. So anything like this that's a composting item, throw it right in my slop bucket. Anything that's biodegradable, and I have a composting pile. Anything I can burn goes in the wood stove. And then the very few number of items that accumulate, like tin cans and things like that, I haul out. Life is good. Who doesn't want to eat fresh ptarmigan with onion? Another wild Saturday night here in the Brooks Range. Not sure that that's what the average 29-year-old guy is doing tonight, but that's what I'm doing. This heart is the tastiest part of any animal you'll ever eat. It was an efficient day, and an efficient day is a good day. The gas I burned in my snow machine, I was able to get meat, we got trap bait, and then we also got fur. Ptarmigan thought they were getting ahead, getting rid of a few fox. Fox sure like to eat ptarmigan, but I took a couple ptarmigan home as well, so maybe something will take me home tomorrow, I don't know.
Everything I need to make a living is out there. Out there, it's all hunting, fishing, and gathering. The town is in a predator control kind of deal where they're trying to avoid rabies getting into the dogs and dog teams of town. So they've been offering people $40 a piece for fox right now.
I just set a couple traps yesterday, so I'm back to check them today. Hopefully we'll get a couple foxes that'll get us some extra cash. The bait wasn't touched at all.
I haven't been able to trap anything.
Because there's food everywhere. You can see up here a fox walked by and went straight to the trash.
We're in town, the food sources are everywhere, so getting them to go to any one place is not easy.
I haven't done very well with the traps, but it'll work out when I get out there. I just have to wait for the river to freeze up. You never know what this winter's gonna do. It's been a pretty tough start up to winter so far.
It kind of makes me a little worried.
I don't really know what's coming next.
But it's that time of year. It's got to have to freeze up. We just have to pass our time as wisely as possible.
It's always kind of spooky walking around on this ice. When you hear that ice cracking, kind of an eerie feeling.
Good boys.
All right, so we're here at the beaver traps. We want to check them to see what it's doing. It's about 30 below out, so we'll see if they've been moving or not. I don't think I'm going to see anything through here yet.
This is thick already.
No, I'm not seeing anything real obvious.
I think I'm going to end up having to open the hole up. I thought I saw something floating around. There, I thought I saw something floating around. No, I'm not seeing anything in the snares. I think I'm gonna pull it out and see if anything was in there chewing on it. Nope, nothing.
No beavers today. One of them chewed on here. I'm gonna have to reset it and try again. So somebody came in, did a little bit of chewing here and here. Got a free meal.
That's where I want him, right here. I'm hoping he thinks there's another free meal here.
Minus 30. I was unsuccessful trapping the beavers, and I expended a lot of energy. So a little bit of a deficit today. Mother Nature doesn't always cooperate with you.
I just am who I am, and I'm different than everybody else I've ever met. But to be true to my nature means that I might be gone at any minute. Somebody has flown all the way out here to the middle of nowhere, stuck their hand in my pocket while I was in rehab for ankle surgery, and stolen $5,000-$6,000 worth of fuel. My life's on the line here.
For me to order more, I gotta pay $600-$700 an hour for a plane. You know, it's a 2-hour round trip. So every 100 gallons, I'm spending $1,400 to get it.
I mean, we're supposed to get this big storm. It obviously is starting to come in. We got blowing snow. You know, we had a crystal clear and northern lights going all night last night. Now we got wind. You got ceiling of clouds. So to me, it's the storm coming in. It's here. This is a leading edge. I have to get in and call Bob, my bush pilot. I got to get him to make an emergency fuel run before this storm really hits. Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Adequate. How about you?
Adequate. So, I am down to 280 gallons total. I have to count on you to help me out, buddy.
Okay, I'll try to get at least one load.
You gotta get up right now and get out here. Right now. The weather conditions are degrading and we're losing our window. Even if he can get out here, doesn't mean he's gonna be able to land.
We got fog coming here, wind picking up a little. So that may be a problem for him landing. It's a crosswind on my runway.
When a plane lands, you either have downwind when the wind is moving the same direction as your runway is. A crosswind means just that, is going across my runway. Now you have a plane with wings and he's trying to land 20 mile an hour, may make him do this.
Bob, got a copy on me yet?
Yes, I got you.
Well, the winds aloft are definitely pushing him this way. but the winds down below are going here. I mean, there's unbelievably strong crosswinds right now, and they're a little variable. Makes it extremely dangerous, and I mean, it's just the way life is out here in Cavett. It's just another way to die out here on the tundra if you're not careful. He's gonna try it. He just has to be able to hang on to it, and right now it doesn't look like he can. He's still coming in too fast. But you can see how he's being thrown around. You be safe, buddy.
I can't hold it.
All right, buddy. Always, always, always safety first. So, yeah, he's feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the pressure. But sometimes, you know, no matter what you want, Mother Nature has a whole different idea. Oh, he's gonna one more circle. He's coming in for another approach. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't let it get you. Be careful, Bob. Be careful, Bob. Be careful, Bob. Oh my God.
Awesome job, Bob. All right, we'll be right there to unload. So, I'm getting some fuel. Yay! All right, I appreciate it, buddy. Two barrels, 10 days of fuel. It's a start. It's gonna help me get there. It's gonna get me a hell of a lot closer than I am right now.
And I'm so freaking thankful. What are good friends for? You just saved my ass. A barrel of fuel may not seem like a lot to some, but for me, it's another week of being warm. Thank you, Bob.
Folks around here treat me no different than they do a native. They look at me for what I do, and they always honor a provider.
The good thing about a traditional subsistence lifestyle is that there's more than one way to make a living.
Then we have elders that we hunt for, like my wife's older brother and other people that we'll give meat to.
My wife goes out and trades the things that we have a lot of for things that we need. Trade and barter are a necessary part of making a living up here.
Today I'm going to get an assortment of fish, and I'm going to go trade for some muck duck and some seal oil and blubber. Muck duck is the skin and the first layer of blubber from the whale. So this is a real good trade because I need the oil, because when we eat fish without the oil and the fish are frozen, then our bodies tend to get cold. But when we have that oil and that muck duck and stuff, it just gives us energy instead of let our bodies try to fight to be warm.
Hi.
Hi. How's it today?
All right. You?
Good.
Right on.
I got some fish to see if you wanted to trade.
Yeah. I got mucked up right here. I got the black meat lover.
Right on.
Yes. Thank
right
you.
On. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go home and eat good dinner.
Okay.
Here is muck duck. It's from the whale. This is the skin here, and this is the fat and the blubber.
Rice, so, cranberry sauce, eggs, fish heads.
Muck duck.
Muck duck. Apples and some sort of vegetable.
What you end up doing is not having a whole lot of anything, but a lot of different things.
If it tastes good, we eat it. But it's a lot cheaper if we just go get it ourselves.
I think of the way that my kids would know that they're tied to this food, because they were all in on either catching it or trading for it or processing it in some way. And there's so many different things that people do that are related to the food without actually being the one to go out and shoot the thing.
Well, it's the only time of day everybody shuts up because their mouth is full.